You are listening to Sports Day. We're here thanks to Beaumont Tiles. If you're running a small to medium business as a builder, renovator or tiler, Beaumont Tiles wants to help you. Big hour coming up. Frank Panisi to join us for the Melbourne Storm. New South Wales sending Origin into its deciding third game. Gee, they smashed Queensland, particularly in that second half. We're going to talk to him about that. We're going to go through all the big issues from football and plenty to say. There are lots to talk about in the round 15 wash-up. And, Jared, let's go all the way back to Thursday night where Melbourne, it would seem, found a way back.
Well, they didn't just find a way back, Scoop. They just reminded everybody that they are, without question, the best side in it.
Sorry, I meant found a way back to the top. They are back.
Oh, yeah, they're back.
Yeah.
I mean, three losses in a row. They had lost their way, but
They started poorly against the Lions as well.
Which they did start poorly.
It doesn't really matter. But I was watching the first half of that first quarter, Jared, thinking, hang on,
hello and welcome. They were pretty average, but their best, Jack Viney, just led the way. Absolutely,
best game in a long time.
Yeah, it's the best two games I've seen him play were one over in the West against the West Coast Eagles, and that one on the weekend where he was just the dominant, most brutal force on the ground, and he did it for four quarters. So well done to them. They're the best. It's hard to see anyone beating them, and I reckon if most sides played them ten times, they would win 8 out of 10. So they're the odds, I reckon, for the next best.
Whose best is closest?
Well, we've had this discussion before. I've never thought Brisbane were in that highest end. I think they're probably one level below the best I've seen from three sides, and that is Fremantle, Carlton, and Melbourne.
Yep.
That's the best footy I've seen. Mm-hmm. Melbourne's great asset is that they've got depth. They can lose three or four, and yet they can replace them with serious players. I mean, they've got premiership players, and they've got the captain out of that particular side. They've got Tom McDonald out of that particular side.
Yep.
Whereas Brisbane lose two or three, and all of a sudden they drop down two or three rungs.
Yep.
St Kilda lost two or three, and they dropped down to one of the most uncompetitive performances we've seen for a long time. They just looked dispirited, as I said earlier, and it just looked as if there's what is going on down there at St Kilda that they could play so badly after playing so well? It just looked as if, did they have the flu? Was there a problem? I mean, selection, three of their best players weren't playing. Maybe that foretold of a story.
Well, there's the confusion surrounding why Brad Hill didn't play. We know that when we hear personal reasons that it's hard for us to ask questions. Everyone's entitled to their privacy, Jared, even AFL footballers. But when he doesn't play and then, you know, Paddy Ryder is managed for one of the best, biggest games of the year, and then they play like that.
Yeah. Are you saying the two are related?
Start thinking, well, I don't know. I mean, we can only judge on what we see.
Yeah.
And what we saw, to use your word, was a dispirited team.
Oh, terrible.
That I thought would be the opposite after Brett Ratton, who's not one for big statements, lambasted their previous performance against Essendon as the worst of the year. Usually, Jared, when good sides have those moments, they bounce back. The Saints did the opposite.
Well, as I said in the first hour, Scoop, after their worst performance of the year, they responded by their worst performance of the year and plumbed a new depth.
Yeah, Brett Ratton spoke about that after the game.
Good luck to Max. Kick the ball like that to anyone. He'd be Tony Lockett, Jason Dunstall. He had no chance. I felt for him tonight. I thought, yeah, he had to wear the brunt of our ball movement and the way that we moved the ball. It would have been pretty frustrating. And he's only a fourth year player. But we kicked the ball so badly to him. And it's not about him. Let's put Cooper Sharman there or Timmy Memory. Or it doesn't matter who it is. We didn't kick the ball well to anyone. So I think most of the forwards would be frustrated on our delivery.
I didn't think Max was great anyway, and I just thought that the coach was...
Lordy talked about that earlier.
Yeah, I don't think Max is working hard enough.
Mm.
I had some vision last night that we replayed a couple of times of the full forward, the young bloke for Port Adelaide who kicked three or four goals yesterday, Todd Marshall.
Todd Marshall, yep.
And his work rate, you know, is a great example. What can be done? He got away from his man. He went out, he went back, he went sideways, he did a circle, and he just dropped off his man and took an uncontested mark. That's the sort of stuff we need to have from the Saints.
I thought the Swans played him really well. Having said that, I thought the McCartans did a really good job.
Yeah, they tag teamed.
Body-wise.
One was blocking, the other one was coming over the top. It was pretty easy, but just on the Swans,
yep,
they've got their issues as well.
No doubt.
Their kicks inside 450. If I was doing the couch tonight, I would show 8 clips of Sydney's kicks to opposition for the easiest turnovers you've ever got. So they need to address that because, Buddy, they look more dangerous when Buddy is coming into the forward line with the ball often. They're not ballistic enough down in that forward line, and their mids aren't connecting at all well, And they're going nowhere unless they address that.
I agree with that. Let's go back. So we ticked off on Thursday night. Friday night, the story clearly seems to be Essendon. And as I said to Lloydie...
Well, there's 2 games Friday night. What about the first game?
Yeah, the Dogs were good. But
Well, the Hawks were fantastic early, and then they ran out of puff and they were poor. But Western Bulldogs...
ran out of real puff.
They did. They were really flat. But look, the story for me out of that was young West coming through. Best game I've seen him play.
And Riley West.
Riley got some coaches votes.
19 disposals, 3 goals, 13 score involvements.
And Tom Liberatore continued his 2 months of fantastic form. I thought the Bont was excellent as well. So they've got some players coming through.
What about Lloydie today and tonight?
Matthew Lloyd.
And the words, you know I'm big on language.
Yes.
He called Essendon soulless today.
Oh, they're not going to run to Tullamarine, are they?
No, not about that. He just thought...
A soulless performance.
Yep. He said they're a soulless team at the moment.
Okay.
And
he had plenty of soul last week, didn't he?
He was really strong on the fact that they need to heavily consider Alistair Clarkson.
Well, that's coming. And that's and Lloydie has been brave enough to be the person who put it on the table.
Yeah.
He's worried about Brett Rutten.
Ben Rutten.
Ben Rutten, I should say. Brett Rutten. Okay.
Yeah.
And he's got every right to at this stage. I mean, they're going to do a review. Well, you got a one-man review when Clarko walks into the place.
Yeah, I mean, 3-11, Jared, after 14 games, and to be second last in contested possessions and last in tackles when they're getting second of the footy every week. That tells us a little bit about their intent.
Hard to believe after last week, isn't it?
And desire. Well, I mean, I can't believe I'm saying this to you. You were quite positive on Essendon last week.
I was very positive. I saw them.
Yeah, I thought the Saints were just horrible, and I thought Essendon were hot air. So I tipped West Coast. I didn't think they could do it twice in a row.
Yep.
They couldn't. And
on West Coast. I
think they've got major problems.
Major problems.
Essendon. I don't see way back for them anytime soon.
Okay.
I mean, Lloydie said they need to win 2 or 3 games and show a bit of intent in the last 8 weeks. Jeez, what have we come to? I mean, expecting Essendon, the ticking a box would be winning 2 or 3 out of 8.
Mm.
I mean, they should be better than that. And I don't buy into this whole theory of, oh, well, they were young and we probably shouldn't have made the finals last year. I mean, look what Collingwood are doing.
Yeah, they've got
what Fremantle did under Justin Longmuir early days.
Yes, there's some comparisons by which they fade or fail badly.
Now, I know Fremantle probably have a lot higher-end talent, kid-wise, than Essendon do.
Do they?
Well, I would think that Sarong, Brayshaw...
Yes, that's one draft. That was one draft.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got McGrath as a number one pick.
Yep.
They've got
Parrish, who's
Ben,
number 6.
Ben Hobbs, who's a number
9
pick.
Yep.
I know he's only played one season or half a season, so...
They've got Cox, they've got Perkins.
They've got a number of those really high-end players last
year. Yeah, okay, I take back what I said.
Who haven't played well this year, and that's the issue. A few of them have just had a little bit of the second years. I'm a big fan of Jones. He's going to come through.
Yeah, not Harry Jones, yeah. I guess my point is, Jared, Essendon cannot get to midway through next year...
And give us a... We're too young.
And be the, and then be the
alibi.
Same.
No, I agree.
So they need to...
I didn't like it when I first heard it, and I hate it now.
They need to get to the end of this year somehow, and they need to either clean out all the assistant coaches, or the vast majority of them, and support Ben Rutten, or they need to change.
Well, let's give it the acid test, Scoop. We'll give it the old Roman test.
Which is?
As the gladiator stood with his sword above the failed or the fallen other gladiator, and he looked to the crowd to see whether it was thumbs up or thumbs down. We have got the crowd out the back, both of whom are mad Essendon supporters. Is it thumbs up for the coach or is it thumbs down? Thumbs down. Thumbs down. Okay.
Both thumbs down?
The blade is about to go straight into the breastbone.
They're tortured. Mm. Speaking of tortured, the Blues aren't...
We should work on that.
Thumbs up, thumbs down? No, I like it. The Blues aren't that anymore. And as I was mentioning to you Mentioned to you earlier, Jared.
Have a listen to this.
I ran into Tim.
Have a listen to this.
What?
The most tortured blues man of all time.
I'm still not convinced they can win the flag, but they could go close. Oh,
you weren't convinced they could win half a dozen games at the start of the season. Then you weren't convinced they could make the finals, and now we're talking about flags. No, the great thing about this is, the first thing you said is inaccurate.
I didn't think.
The great thing about this is that Michael Voss has come from the wilderness. A lot of clubs could have taken Michael Voss, and he's imparted such belief in that place, and they are playing such exciting footy. Isn't it great?
Is there any validity, Jared, to the theory that... So, like, obviously I've been watching Carlton for a long time.
Yeah.
They have never been as tough and unrelenting physically as they are now.
Oh, yes, they have. But it was about 20 years ago.
Well, sorry. In that time. I said 20 years. Yeah. Is there anything in the theory that when a player like Voss comes in to coach and the way he played for 300 games, that somehow gets imparted on his troops?
Well... Look, he's got ultimate respect, but I don't think it's imparted. I think that's in all players. It's just a matter of who gets it out of him. I mean, Dennis Pagan.
So it's unlocking it.
It's unlocking it. Yeah. And okay, it may help to have played like that, but you know, Malcolm Blight unlocked it at the Kangaroos initially. Didn't win a flag. He went down to Geelong. Didn't win a flag. He unlocked it in Brisbane. At Adelaide. Mm. Simon Goodwin. He wasn't Mark Ricciuto. But he unlocked it at Melbourne. I mean, I think it is a bit of an overreach. I think Paul Ruse. Look at Paul Ruse. He was the most brilliant centre half back of all time. Went to play centre half forward. He wasn't, an inside mid that knocked blokes over, etc.
He was just a beautifully
gifted player like a Malcolm Blight. But he got his players to play like Michael Voss.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. No, I think you've given a fair few examples.
And you could go on and on and on, to be honest.
Yep. Yep, it's obviously Voss's ability to unlock a talent and an intent that was already there. We're going to take a break on Sports Day. When we come back, do we have to have the argument again? Do we have to talk about the red card again? I'm exhausted from
the first
hour.
There's no argument. If you don't bring it in, you're foolish.
What? No, you can't argue like that.
Yes, you can.
You can't say my opinion's wrong. And if I don't agree with you, I'm an idiot. You can't actually say that.
I didn't say that, did I?
No, you did. You said it in the first hour. You said it was idiotic if I disagreed with you.
No, I didn't say that at all. Show me the tape.
We'll have to go back to the tape. More Sports Day after this.
Speaking to him post-game, I mean, I've known Tom for a long time. He is a scrupulously fair player and just a fantastic, strong character, fundamental to what we do at Geelong. You know, I think when my time's come and gone, I'll look back and say I was honoured to know and to coach Tom Stewart. And that's partly because when I spoke to him post-game, he said, I've just made a horrible error. And I feel terrible about it. So, okay. He said, I ran past the ball and I chose to bump. I didn't mean to do it, but gee, it was terrible execution and I'm going to pay the price for it. And I wouldn't normally be this expansive, but I thought it speaks to the man. He knows he's done the wrong thing. Was it deliberate? Of course it wasn't. He's made an error. And as people do that I admire, he's prepared to stand up and say, I was wrong. Now, it doesn't help them. You know, the idea of restorative justice still exists. Like, they lose one of their best players. We don't run away from that fact. But he should have some comfort in the fact that that's not him and it was an error of execution and nothing more.
Welcome back to Sports Day. That was an expansive Chris Scott after the game talking about Tom Stewart, who will find out his fate tomorrow night.
I thought he summed it up really well. I mean, I don't think anybody out there thinks he's a thug. I think most people thought he miscalculated and it wasn't a deliberate smashing to the head, but that's what happened. So he's going to pay the price.
Do you think, Jared, Jake's away for a couple of weeks, Jake Nile, so I'm doing the podcast with Caro and Gleese. I was one out in this argument today. Do you think that it should have been graded as intentional? Or are you satisfied with the careless grading?
I think it was probably careless. I don't think he intentionally meant to KO him. I don't think that's in him. So yes, I'd say it's careless.
So I mounted the same argument that I think it would be difficult to prove that Tom intentionally tried to hit him in the head with his shoulder when he went after him. Gleese's point, which I thought was fair and reasonable, was that given that the AFL has been trying to recondition players to offer a duty of care to their opponents. And, you know, you've been strong on this, as strong as anyone in the game about head-high contact and how we need to
change behaviours
about what's appropriate. He made the point that what Tom actually did, whether he hit him in the head or not, was not reasonable, given that Dion had clearly handballed the ball earlier and that Tom needed to offer Dion a duty of care, and that is by either missing him or slowing down.
I don't disagree with that, but that doesn't mean he deliberately meant to hit him in the head. He deliberately meant to hit him.
No,
but I don't think he deliberately meant to hit him in the head.
No, I agree, but Gleese's point was it could have been classified as unduly rough conduct.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, in which case he was intending to cause a reportable offence by making contact in the first place.
Yes, but not in the head.
No, I agree.
So it's a fine line, but you asked me whether he intentionally hit him in the head, and I don't think he did.
I agree. I think it's careless.
But ultimately, the guts of this is, should there be a red card? I've argued for 30 years there should be a red card. No. And there's only probably been, you keep saying no, but let me finish my point. There's only been probably 4 or 5 incidents that come to mind.
Yep.
Clearly, Barry Hall, he had no right to be on the ground. He gave up his right to be on the ground when King hit that person.
Completely agree with that.
I don't think anybody in Australia could misinterpret what happened there if it was put to them. Andrew Gaff, same. Ty Vickery, when he KO'd Dean Cox, he got 4 weeks. There's one or two others who don't come quickly to mind, but they're the sorts of incidents that I don't think there is any shadow of a doubt they could be got wrong, and they're the incidents that should be that a red card should be for. Anything with a level of confusion or debate, well, they leave that to the tribunal.
Was that a red card on the weekend?
Oh, it was absolutely a red card. I mean, you ran past the ball.
You're allowed to run past the ball.
You KO'd him in the head, and you're responsible for the actions. Not only is it unjust on Richmond, it's just ridiculous that you should have a player out there that could cause retribution and even further demonstrative stuff from the Tigers, which creates potentially other injuries and another fracas. And I've argued this for a long time, and as I said earlier, for Gill to have his head in the sand on this for his whole reign, I find disappointing. In fact, if I was made the footy manager like Brad Scott was a few months ago, it would be on day one. It'll be on an agenda for it to be changed. It is that simplistic, and it is that obvious that it has to come in, that I find I don't really respect the counter argument.
It's not simplistic at all. You tell me right now how it's simplistic.
Well, I think that if you have the threshold as high as I would have it, for incidents that are 100% clearly you are guilty, there's no coming back, there's no confusion.
But Jared,
you're out.
You're talking as one of the leading experts that this game has seen in the last 50 years. The people who are making that decision aren't that.
I don't think you need to be an expert to know that Barry Hall KO'd his opponent.
But Barry Hall's not the same as Tom Stewart.
I think...
Does Lachie Plowman get a red card for last year?
Lachie Plowman was not in this same category.
Oh, it's not far off, though.
I think it's a fair way off.
Okay.
I think there was a fair bit of debate about whether he should be suspended or not. Half the footy community thought not suspended. There is not one person in the footy community...
Yeah, but what if two umpires thought he should have got a red card?
There is not one person in the footy community that thinks Barry Hall should have got off.
I agree, but that's one in a million.
Not one thought Andrew Gaff should get off.
No, but there'd be plenty of people that said he was trying to hit him in the stomach.
In the stomach, and he got him in the head.
Yeah.
Well, that's like arguing that Tom Stewart could have bumped him shoulder to shoulder, but he got him in the head. If there's a guy going off on a stretcher...
But it's not the same as Barry Hall turning around and belting someone at point-blank range.
But the outcome is the same.
Yeah, but the action's not.
I know the action's not, and that's why Barry Hall got 8 weeks, and Tom Stewart's probably going to get 4 weeks. But the outcome is the same. If a guy's getting carried off on a stretcher, there is plenty of time for the three umpires to go over, ask for the vision, and say, we're satisfied... This player has no right to be on the ground. End of story. But the main issue, Scoop, is that they were 17 points up and threw away 4 points. I mean, if they won that game, we would be talking about them as premiership contenders.
We both tipped the Tigers, didn't we?
We both tipped the Tigers. And at the 17-minute mark, I turned off and said, well, that's one tip.
So did I. That is exactly what happened with me.
Yep.
There were 17 points up, and I was meeting a friend for dinner.
I had to go to work.
And he was picking me up. And in the 4 minutes it took me to get from the couch to his car...
Yes.
He said Geelong are in front.
Yep.
I said, what?
Amazing.
Anyway, amazing win from the Cats, to be honest. I did find it quite funny that Chris Scott gave Tom Stewart 4 coaches' votes and
yes.
Damien Hardwick gave him none. Or maybe it was the other way around.
Well, it's look, if you actually go through those coaches' votes, there's been a couple of anomalies in the coaches' votes.
You've been strong on this for months.
For a couple of years, I just like the permutations. Liam Baker got a 5 and a 4, so I assume he got the 5 from the Tigers.
Yes.
Tyson Stengel got a 6. So bear in mind, there is a 5 from Richmond, from Geelong floating. So Mark Blitzars has got a 5. So either he's got the 5 from Geelong or Tyson Stengel's got the 5 from Geelong. So if Tyson Stengel's got the 5 from Geelong, he actually only got a 1 from Richmond. Blitzars got 5. That's probably a 2 and a 3, but it may well not be. Tom Stewart got a 4, a 4 only from Geelong. And then the rest were just make-dos, ones and twos. The one that interests me, though, Scoop, and I know we're not doing this particular game. But
no, it's all right. We can jump around.
The last game.
Yes, Port Adelaide Gold Coast.
Connor Rozee. I didn't think there was a standout player that was best on the ground, but if I had to give BOG, I would have given it to Connor Rozee. He got 10.
Okay.
I wouldn't have given Tuke Miller a vote.
How many did he get?
He got 8.
Wow.
So he got 4s from both clubs.
2 4s, yeah.
2 4s. I thought he was okay. I thought he was competitive. I thought he had some real bad patches where he got tagged a bit. He got a couple of nice clearances, so he may have slipped in for a 1 vote, but I thought he was – sometimes your reputation helps you. Maybe it's me. Maybe I just got it completely wrong. Todd Marshall, to me, he got a 6, so I assume he's got 2 3s. So we've got 2 5s, 2 4s, Tuke Muller got 8. Todd Marshall got 3rd best by both. I reckon he was probably better than that. He was – in the end, goal kicking was the difference. He kicked straight, and Marbia Chol hit the post twice. I mean, therein lies the game, outside a really poor umpiring decision at the end.
Which one?
The lack of intent with 3 seconds of play, that had to be a free kick.
After the boundary throwing?
Yeah, it was a handball after the long kick in from Charlie Ballard.
Yep.
It fell to...
Yes. Well, it could have been a sliding free kick, it could have been a hold on Rankin, and it could have been lack of intent.
Oh, absolutely. It was...
Yep.
Probably. I argue that I can cope with the other two. They were arguably not there. But those umpires, they did not want to pay a decision.
Before we go.
And the last one was 100% deliberate.
Okay. Before we go, I don't want to end on a downer. Did you watch the North Melbourne game?
No, I didn't put myself through it.
Right.
I saw about 30 minutes of it.
It was tough to watch.
That was enough.
After halfway through the second quarter, they were competitive for the first quarter and a half.
I was listening whilst I was preparing for my game. I heard David King say that Taron Thomas... needs to give us a response because he showed no interest whatsoever.
We find two handballs the half time.
There's been a death in the family.
Shouldn't have played then.
You either can deal with that, and some people can, or you don't. But don't play and play without intent.
Yep. And then you know, he was getting into arguments on social media afterwards.
Yeah, no, it was a mess. It's the whole place is messy at the moment.
Telling people that he was earning 10 times more than they were. It's unfortunately for North Melbourne, not only has there been shocking form. Which has resulted in a string of heavy losses. But there have just been these other little incidents following them around. You know, like Horn Francis and, you know,
like what's happened with the recruiting department
walking out. And then you've got Taron Thomas getting into blues with nobodies on social media.
Taron Thomas being dropped. Stevenson being dropped
Jane twice.
Jason Horn Francis being dropped.
Yeah, it is... It's not a happy place at the moment, and I feel for everyone down there, Jared.
Yes, so do I.
I really do. It's a shocking place to be.
Been in a club like that at one stage,
yeah.
And it's a really tough year. The question is, the longevity of that place is always under the microscope.
You agreed.
Because their footprint on the competition is not a big one. They've been a transient team for a long period of time. They've been here. Nomadic team is the right word I'm looking for. They're playing Tasmania. No one turns up in Tasmania.
5,072 there.
No one cares about North Melbourne in Tasmania.
No, I would agree with that.
So,
which is why the idea of relocating them to Tasmania is a fraudulent one.
Oh, it just lacks any common sense in many respects.
Completely agree.
And it also, when someone writes a book, and I bet you the Herald Sun or the Age do a story on it, when they look at why didn't the Kangaroos take the $100 million offer and go to Queensland? It's one of the most unfortunate decisions in footy's history, in my view.
and plenty of senior people at North Melbourne would disagree with you.
Oh, plenty would agree because it was a split vote at the board. It was 49-51.
It got very close.
And there's a lot of people, a lot of generational North Melbourne supporters who are friends of mine. They still shake their head as to why they didn't go.
And, as I wrote in the paper today, things don't get much easier for them because they're down the highway to the Cattery on the weekend.
Good luck.
We're going to chat all things Origin and Storm with the godfather of the Melbourne Storm, Frank Panisi, next.